Okay, we're going to start here on Tetzayin Amud Aleph at the top, three lines down. Gemara says Gufa. It's going to discuss a statement that we made yesterday, which was Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, 3,000 halachot nishtachu b'mei avlo shel Moshe. 3,000 halachot were forgotten during the time of period of mourning for Moshe Rabbeinu. Amru lo do Yoshua. So Bnei Israel said to Yoshua, Sha'al, find out, ask Hashem what we're missing. Amalei lo b'shamayim hi. That's not something that is relegated to heaven. It's something that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Once it's Ba'aretz, once it's on the earth, then only people down here can make the determinations or remember it. It cannot be given min ha-shamayim anymore. Amru lo l'shmuel sha'al. They said to Shmuel, ask. Amar lehem, elo mitzvot she'en ha-navi rashay l'chadesh davar me'ata. That this is something that a navi cannot be mechadesh anymore. That both through nevuah or through asking Hashem, neither of these are methodologies that you can use in order to extend the Torah between the two. Well, one's talking about a Navi and one is talking about speaking to Hashem, I assume through the Urim Getumim or in direct contact with Hashem. Here you have one person who's a Navi and one person who's a leader. And then you're going to have here now the Kohanim as well. Also this halacha of Chatat Shemetu Baleha, or the other Gersa would be Chatat Shikipru Baleha, was forgotten. It was one of those 3,000 halachot that was forgotten. Amru lo Pinchas, they said to Pinchas, Sha'al, so Amalei lo b'shamayim hi, Amalei le Elazar, they asked Elazar, Sha'al, to ask Amalem, Elu mitzvot asher in Navi Rashay l'chadesh v'adar mi'ata. Look at Rashi, Rashi has all of these different acronyms about the order in which the questions were asked. Whether it was Yeshua, Elazar, Pinchas, and then Shmuel, and then he has all the acronyms that would lay out the different possibilities of the order that we have. It's the order that we have is a little strange because ours has Yeshua, then Shmuel, then Pinchas, then Elazar. Doesn't meet in order, but it makes the most sense that it was Yeshua, Elazar, Pinchas, Shmuel, which would have been the order in terms of chronological order, would make a lot of sense in terms of asking them. But the point being the same in all these cases, which is that once the halachot were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, there's no longer any influence min ha-shamayim in terms of the outcome or the misora of these halachot, and therefore it was inappropriate to ask for help min ha-shamayim to get these back or to learn them again. The only way they could be remembered was either through learning from Moshe Rabbeinu, or if that doesn't work, then you do it based on what we said yesterday, a pia majority. You do it based on majority rules, not on asking min ha-shamayim, not through a Navi, not through leadership, not through kihuna, not through nevuah. So those are the three areas of leadership in Bnei Yisrael. You have the Melech, you have the Navi, and you have the Kohen. And all three of these answer the same way, which is that we can't use our access to Hashem in order to get back these halachot. The only way to get these halachot back are through learning or through rule by the majority. At the time that Moshe Rabbeinu was about to pass away, the Gan Eden, Amar lo Yoshua, Shal mi many kol sfekot sheyesh lecha. Ask me any questions that you have left over, any remaining questions. Amar lo, Rebbe, klum hein achticha, sha'achat, v'chalachti demakom acher. Did I ever leave your side and go somewhere else? Lo kach katavta bi, didn't you write in your Torah, Mesharto, Yoshua binu, nar lo yomish b'tocha oel? And that I was always there. I was learning. I don't have any questions. I really learned everything. So miyad tashash kocho shel Moshe. So right then, Moshe Rabbeinu felt weakened by that, was distraught by the fact that it was no longer necessary to have Moshe around. Yeshua says, I got everything you gave me. I don't really need you anymore. I don't need to learn from you anymore. And that made Moshe feel horrible. Therefore, menishkachu mimenu, mimenu min Yoshua, shlosh meot alachot. Forgot 300 alachot because of this haughtiness in a sense, that he didn't feel or he didn't look at Moshe Rabbeinu and say, teach me or ask him any questions. I just said I knew it all. And therefore, he forgot 300 halachot. But no dulo, 700 sfeikot. And 700 sfeikot then arose. Vamdo kol Yisrael lahara go. And Bnei Yisrael were upset now at Yoshua, either because he caused Moshe to be distraught or over the Torah that he had forgotten. I can't tell you. Can't tell you the secrets, can't tell you the information, because it only comes through Moshe Rabbeinu. It's lo b'shamayim here anymore. Lo b'shamayim, then either you learn it, you remember it, or you're going to rule by the majority. So leich b'tordan b'milchama. Go and get them busy with something else. Shinemar. Vayhi achrei mot Moshe v'Hashem. This is the beginning of Sefer Yoshua. And he says there, Vayom Hashem, that they should heichunu l'derech, they should get ready for Shloshet Yamim, they're going to cross through the Yarden. Get ready with other preparations. Focus on other things now because there's no way to solve this problem now. We're not going to get rid of this issue right now because I'm not telling you the answer and I'm not giving you the halachot, and you must move forward from here. Matnitan tana, elef ushvami ot Kalin v'chamurim u'gzerot shavot v'diktukei sofrim nishtakachu b'mei avlo shel Moshe. So we have a different version of this. Instead of there being 3,000 halachot, there were 1,700 halachot that were forgotten. Kal v'chomer, logical arguments. Gzerot shavot, things that you have a mesorah about in terms of limudim between words or psukim. V'diktukei sofrim. Now diktukei sofrim is obviously not dinei d'rabbanon, because dinei d'rabbanon don't exist at that time. So Rashi explains, diktukei sofrim is shasu haTorah sfirot sfirot. It's something that we know that they made the Torah into numbers that they used to say, 15 of this, da 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 da, 7 of this, 3 of this. And that's how the Mishnayot that we have are written. That's what Rashi points out. Kigon, Tedvav Nashim Potrot Tzarotehem, Yud Gilmel Dvarim Nemru Benivleit Of Tor. I mean that they're lists of items, but you have numbers in order to remember those number of halachot. In a Mishnah, we have that many times. All these numbers that help you remember what's supposed to be contained within that Mishnah. So that's Diktukei Sofrim. That was forgotten during the time of Evlosha Moshe, and Amar Rabbi Bo, Afopikain. Even though they were forgotten, Zira Matniel ben Kenaz mitoch pilpulo. But Daniel ben Kenaz was able to bring them back through his tremendous learning, Shinemar. So this is a pasuk about Adniel ben Kenaz. The pasuk that we're quoting right now is from Yehoshua. Just to note that there are two versions of the story. There's one version of the story found in Yehoshua Tedvav. And there's another version of the story that's found in Shoftim Perek Aleph. So the Gemara here is quoting the story from Yehoshua, but you're going to see that there's some misquotes along the way, and some of those misquotes are because it's found in Shoftim, there's a different, slightly different version of the story, which is, Be'al-Kadah, Atniel ben Kenaz, Achi Kalev. So Atniel ben Kenaz captured the Kiryat Sefer, and he was the brother of Kalev. Vayitein lo et Achsa bito l'isha, and he gave to him Achsa, his daughter, as a wife. Kalev had conquered Hebron in that area, and he said, whoever goes ahead and conquers Kiryat Sefer, I will give him my daughter Achsa as a wife. Otniel ben Kenaz goes ahead and conquers Kiryat Sefer, and he gives his daughter Achsa to Otniel ben Kenaz as a wife. Over here it says, Otniel ben Kenaz, Achi Kalev, that he was the brother of Kalev, which we'll deal with later on in the Gemara. V'lamini krashma Achsa. Why was his daughter's name Achsa? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, shekolareo uta ko'es al ishto. She was so beautiful that anybody who saw her, angry at his wife, was disappointed in his wife, that he didn't have someone as beautiful as Achsa. Vahi bivoa, so this is describing Achsa. After she had been given to Otniel ben Kenaz, she came, v'tisiteyo lishol me'et avia. She convinces, she pushes Otniel ben Kenaz to ask from her father, sadeh, for a field, v'titznach malach amor. And then she alights, she comes off of the donkey to go to speak to her father. Mara says, my v'titznach, what's lashon titznach? Amarav, amarav yitzok, amarlo, ma'ach amor zeh, kevin she'in lo ma'achal ba'avuso miyad so'ek. Just like a donkey, if it doesn't have any food in its trough, begins to bray, begins to scream out, Kachisha. Kevin she'in la'tua b'toch beita miyad zu'eket. A woman who doesn't have parnassa for her household, doesn't have what to feed her family with, she also begins to scream. And that's what Achsa was saying to her father. They're playing on the word about titznach as tzavach, to scream. And that she was screaming because she didn't think she had parnassa. Now why? Vatoma, tana li bracha. Give me a bracha, ki eretz hanegev natatani. You gave me the southern area, meaning down south, past the Hebron, southern Hebron. What does it mean, eretz hanegev? Bayit shim nugav mikol tova. It's an area that's dried out of any good. It's not a great area to have in terms of a Yerusha. Natata li gulot mayim. Please give me some areas or some water pits, some water sources. Adam shim bo elo torah bilvai. Then on the other hand, you gave me a husband who doesn't know how to make a parnosu. You gave me a Talmud Chacham as a husband, and now, how am I going to have anything to live off of? You gave me a land that's no great, and you gave me a husband who's not going to make a parnosu. So then, Vayitein La, the word Kalev does not appear in Sefer Yehoshua, which they're quoting. In Sefer Shoftim, it does appear, so that's why I probably got into the Gemara here. Yeah, it's implicit. It's implicit in the puzzle, Vayitein La, because she's speaking to her father Kalev, but it actually explicitly is found in Sefer Shoftim, just in Yehoshua, the word Kalev itself is not found there. But it's Vayitein La et gulot iliot ved gulot tachtiot. He gave her the upper water pools and the lower water pools. Samar La, he says back to her, mi she dar elyonim v'tachtonim, or whoever has the razei olam, the secrets of the Torah, elyonim v'tachtonim, shelo yivakesh mimenu. So better ask him, meaning that your husband, who is able to bring back all these halachot, you should ask him to daven into Hashem to get mizonot. What are you coming to me for? You have the power through your husband to do this, to acquire your mizonot, or to have parnasa within the household. He says that Basically, you have a Talmud Chacham, Torato, Umnato, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of their parnasa. Since your husband is someone who knows Vezei Torah, is Kulo Usuk B'Torah, then he will, or Hashem, will provide your mizonot. So now, Kalev Ben Kenaz, who? Is Kalev really Ben Kenaz? You just said now, the pasuk began that it was Otniel Ben Kenaz, Achi Kalev, the brother of Kalev. If he's the brother of Kalev, that implies that Kalev's father was Kenaz. Balo Kalev ben Yefunehu. We know that he's mentioned the Torah. He's Kalev ben Yefuneh. So how do you have him? Kalev ben Kenaz. So my Yefuneh. So Yefuneh was an adopted name. Shepana miatzat miraglim. That he didn't follow the ways of the miraglim. That he went away from the spies. He did not join in with the other 10 spies. He and Yoshua pulled away. Vakati ben Kenazu. Is he still? Is ben Kenaz really who he is? Hello ben Chetronu. Isn't he really the son of Chetron? So why are you saying that he's Ben Kenaz? You should say that he is Ben Chetron. Sichtib Kalev Ben Chetron holid et Azuva. As it says in Divrei Yamim, Kalev Ben Chetron gave birth to Azuva. We don't have this part of the Gemara here, but in the Gemara in Sota, it says that Azuva was Miriam. He took Miriam as a wife, and so on and so forth. There's a whole other section to this Agadah, which is not brought over here. So Amarovo, Churgei de Kenazaya, who? He's the stepson of Kenaz. Meaning that his father was really Chetzron, but he shared a common mother with Otniel ben Kenaz. His mother then married Kenaz and had Otniel, and therefore they were half brothers, but he was the stepson of Kenaz. Tana, who Otniel? Who Yavatz? So not only his name is Otniel ben Kenaz, Gemara here identifies him with Yavatz, Yavetz. Yavetz is found again in Divrei Yamim Aleph. He's a person mentioned there by the Shevet Yehuda. It's not clear that he's necessarily associated with Otniel ben Kenaz, but the Gemara here associates the two. Umash Shmo. And what's his real name? Yehuda Achi Shimon. Shmo. His real name is Yehuda, the brother of Shimon, which I'll get back to in a second. Otniel. He was called Otniel. Shan O Kel. That God answered him. Yavetz. Sheatz Rivetz Torah B'Yisrael. Because he gave advice and he spread Torah throughout Israel. Uminolon Shan O Kel. How do you know that Hashem answered him? Dichtiv, because this is the pasuk that's found in Divrei Yamim. It says, "Vayikra Yavetz leLukei Yisrael leMor." He called out to God, saying, "Im barech tivarcheni, if you bless me, v'irbita et gvuli, and you expand my boundaries, v'ita yadcha imi, and your hand is with me, v'sita mira'ah dovilti otzvi, and you will take care of the bad so that I will not be saddened, v'yavelukim et asher she'al." And God brought all that He asked upon Him. Now the Gemara is going to break that pasuk down and explain to us. Im barech tivarcheni, if you bless me, batorah, and giving me Torah. V'rbita et gvulai b'talmidim, and have a tremendous amount of talmidim. V'ayta yadcha imi, and your hand will be with me. Shelo yishtakach talmudai milibi, that I will not forget my learning. And again, the pasuk here is quoted incorrectly. V'zasita me'ra'ah. What is v'zasita me'ra'ah? She's damluli re'im kemoti. Play on ra'ah here being re'im, friends, that I should have other peers with me who I can learn from and who I can study with. Devil tu odzvi. What does it mean? So that I should not become saddened. Shelo yizgaveni yitzara'am lishnot. The Yetzirah should not stop me from learning. Im atav sekein mutav. If you grant my request, then good. V'im lav hareini olech l'nisisi l'sheol. And if not, I will go in my depression, in my despondent state, down below to Gehinom. Miyad, Hashem responds, v'yaveh elukim et kasher sha'al. He was granted everything that he had asked for. Kiyotze badavar, you have a similar type of situation that is mentioned in Mishlei. Mishlei, it says, Rush v'ish tichachim. When you have a poor person and a man of medium means, nifkashu, when they meet, me'ir enei shnehem, Hashem. That when they come together, Hashem takes care of both of them and lightens both of their eyes. That is, b'shash, a tamid holech etzel rabbo. When a tamid goes to his rebbe, v'omer lo lamdeini Torah, please teach me Torah. Im lamdo, if he teaches him Torah, me'ir enei shnehem, Hashem grants them both goodness, because first of all, the Tamid now is able to learn. And number two, we have the principle that Tamidai yoter mi rabutai. I learn more from my students than from my rebbeim. And therefore, this individual is able to learn from his Tamidim as well and expand his knowledge of Torah, and they both benefit. V'im lav, if that's not the case, Ashir v'rash, nifgashu, if you have a poor man and a rich man that meet, oseh kulam Hashem, mi shaso chacham lezeh, oseh otu tipesh. Hashem who made this person a Talmud Chacham will make him into a fool. Tipesh Lazen, where made him a fool, Oseh to Chacham will now make him into a Chacham. Zu Mishnat Rabbi Natan. This is the explanation of all this Gemara according to Rabbi Natan. Now what it means here is that if the Ashir, meaning the Talmud Chacham, refuses to teach the poor, the one who doesn't have the Talmud, then they'll both, he'll lose out, because Hashem says, I only granted you Torah in order to teach others, and here you're keeping it, being selfish, keeping it for yourself, not teaching others. Therefore, the same way that you became an Ashir, meaning you're a Talmud Chacham, you'll fall and become a Tipesh. And the Rash, the Talmid who knows nothing, I can raise him up, I can give him the knowledge through someone else, and he'll rise up to be a Talmud Chacham. So the best way to deal with it is to have both of them together, the Rash and Ish Tichachim, poor man and the person of medium means. The person doesn't think he knows it all. The person doesn't think that he has it all. And therefore, together, they will both benefit by being joined together and learning together. On the other hand, if he thinks he's an Ashir, he's a wealthy man, he doesn't have to give anything to the poor man. And therefore, I'll remain rich, he'll remain poor, I'll keep my Torah, he'll get nothing. Then Hashem will take care of the situation and he'll even out the floor. Now, the only thing I had to address here, which I skipped over, was they said that Otniel ben Kenaz's name was Yehuda Achi Shimon. It's not mentioned anywhere. It's not mentioned in Divrei Yamim. It's not mentioned in Elshua or Shoftim. The Marsha claims that in the beginning of Shoftim there, it says, Mi ale berishona. They ask the Yom Bitim who should go first. And the answer they get is Yehuda. Yehuda should go first. Then Yehuda goes and says to his brother Shimon, to Shevet Shimon, why don't you come with us? And we'll give you a portion of our chilek. You'll help us out. And Shimon goes along. So Achi Shimon. So the Marsha claims that the play on the words here is that instead of thinking that Yehuda means Shevet Yehuda and Shimon means Shevet Shimon, it actually means Yehuda Achi Shimon was the name of an individual who's going to ask to go up, and then the story of Kiryat Sefer is brought after that of Kalev and Otniel ben Kenaz, and therefore the Gemara is claiming that Yehuda Achi Shimon is the name of Otniel ben Kenaz, being the preface to the story about Kiryat Sefer where Otniel ben Kenaz is mentioned. So that's why his name was Yehuda Achi Shimon. And then the Gemara looks at Otniel ben Kenaz and Yavetz, those two as being plays on his name. And therefore the Gemara darshans each one of those names separately from his quote-unquote real name, which was Yehuda Achi Shimon. All right, now Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Omer. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi has a different way to learn this whole Gemara. And instead of saying that the Gemara is referencing the Torah, he says it's referencing Parnassah. Im barech tivarcheni bepiria urevia. If you bless me with children and offspring, with daughters and sons, you'll be with me in business, in my transactions. Again, it's quoted wrong in the pasuk here. I should have no headaches, earaches, eye aches. I mean, I should know no sickness. Then the vilti atzvi. The nitzarei should not stop me from learning. If you do that, fine. If not, I will go in my depression, my despondency to Geinom or to my death. Hashem gave him everything that he requested, what he asked. So here we say it's talking about not about Torah, but about Parnassah. And now they quote the same sukkim from Mishlei and darshan them, this time instead of being with Torah, dealing with Parnassah. Ataomer, Rosh v'ish techachim. A poor man and a man of medium means, nifkashu, they met, meir aneishneim Hashem. If the medium person of medium means takes care of the rush, Hashem takes care of both of them. B'shah shani olech etzel balabayit. The time that Aniyah goes to the balabayit, tamar parnaseini, give me some parnasa, help me out, imifarnaso mutav. If he helps him out, that's good. Vimlav. If not, ashir v'rash nifkashu, then we go back to the other puzzle, which is that a rich man and a poor man meet. Hashem takes care of everybody. He's the one who makes them. He can change them. The one that he made rich will now become impoverished because he didn't take care of his fellow Jew. This poor man, Hashem will take care of him and bring him parnosa from somewhere else. So you have two versions of the drasha on the pasuk of Yavetz that's found in Divrei Yamim. One version that relates to Torah, the other one relates to Parnasa. And obviously I think you can say that they're not mutually exclusive, meaning that these are the two areas where a person would want from Hashem, which is the areas of spiritual growth and the areas of physical sustenance and success. And the Gemara darshans, one in each direction, one in the direction of Torah, and one in the direction of Parnassah, but not that they should be mutually exclusive, but they should be together. They're both requests that a person would have in their lifetime, and that would make sense that someone was asking Hashem for both of these areas, to excel in both of these areas. All right, now we're back to our Mishnah. And our Mishnah, it said, Amar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon spoke about Mematzinu. Mematzinu that we find by the five Chatot HaMeitot, You say by the five chatot tamei, three of them only apply to a yachid. Those three that only apply to a yachid, and therefore the other two where we're not sure, they should only apply to a yachid also, because the other three only apply to a yachid. So the Gemara wants to investigate that statement. Tarabanan, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Chamesh Chatot Meitot, what are they? Vlad Chatat, the offspring of a Chatat, Tmurat Chatat, an exchange of a Chatat, Chatat Shemetu Baleah, Chatat that whose owners have passed away, Chatat Shekipru Baleah, owners who got their kapara through another Chatat, Mechatat Shavrash Nata, that passed its first year of life, meaning it's too old to be a Chatat now. Iyata Yecholomar Vlad Chatat Bitzibur. Can't have a Vlad Chatat and Zibur Shein Chatat Nekeva Bitzibur. There is no Korban Nekeva that comes Bitzibur at all. So there's no way to have a Vlad Chatat if you don't have a Nekeva. All the Korbanot Zibur are Zecharim. Viyata Yecholomar Tumurat Chatat Bitzibur. You can't have an exchange of a Chatat and Zibur the fee. Shein et Zibur Osim Tumura. Zibur doesn't make Tumura. That's what we've been learning until now. The end of last parak, beginning of this parak, that a Yachid can make Tumura. Zibur cannot make Tumura. You can't talk about a chatat whose owners passed away, but tzibur, the fish ain't a tzibur meitim. Tzibur never passes away, never dies. You have the corporate entity, Klal Yisrael. Corporate entity, Klal Yisrael, survives any one of its individual parts, any one of its individual persons. So now, shekipru balea, v'she'avra shnata, when it comes to those last two, lo matzino, lo yedanu. We don't know whether they belong to the yachid or belong to the tzibur, where they apply. I would think they apply equally to Yachid and Tzibur because they have manifestations in both. Let's learn out those that are we're unsure about, which are unclear, from those that we know for certain. Just like the first three, which are explicitly belong to the Yachid because they're only in the venue of the Yachid. Must be in those latter two cases that they're only addressing the Yachid and not addressing the Tzibur with regards to this. So Gemara says, what type of limud is this? You're learning out from something that's impossible to something that is possible. You're learning out from three items which have no manifestation but Tzibur and saying, oh, they only apply to the Yachid. And then you want to take two items that do have manifestation but Tzibur and say, oh, it must apply to the Yachid. How can you learn from something where there's no possibility of Tzibur and say, oh, there, you see, it all belongs to the Yachid, and then bring that over to something where there is a possibility of Tzibur? That's not a good logic, not a good argument. So Reish Lakish comes to answer the question of Reb Shimon and explain Reb Shimon. Arba'a natnu lehem. They got four misinai. Four out of these five chata'ot were told that they were going to be die. One of them they were told was ro'eh achis dev, goes out to graze. But they didn't know which of the four out of the five. They lost track. They left the halachot that they forgot. Therefore, the chumrah said all five of them are the mito, because we don't know which of the four out of this bunch are the mito, and therefore we're going to make all five of them the mito. If you think b'tzibur, hanach mitnu b'tzibur. Those that can't apply, they don't manifest themselves in tzibur. Therefore, it must be that you learn out what's unclear from that which is mifurash. Now, there are two ways to learn this Gemara. They're not so far apart. Rashi brings down both of them. Tosfot also mentions them over here as well, which is that you have four that are metot. The only way you can have four that are metot is if you're talking about a yachid. So if they got a mesora that four of them were metot, then for sure the whole halacha was said in the yachid and not in the tzibur. That's one way to read the Gemara. The other way to read the Gemara is that their four were given to them as a block. They were given four as a unit. That unit was at a mesora, that this unit is all together, these four are metot. When you bring them together as a unit, the only way that can be is be yachid. Tzibur never has a unit of four. Tzibur at most has a unit of two, because only two of them apply by tzibur. The fact that we're given as a block of four shows you that they don't apply to the tzibur. So one of those two ways, either because they got four that are metot, four that are metot are only relevant by the yachid, or the fact that we're given a block of four shows you that it must be applying to the yachid. And now it's no longer mi efshar shi efshar. They're not learning out of one to the other. What they're basically saying is we know the din by four. By the four of them, there's a specific din that they must be metot. If I look at four, it must be we're talking about a yachid and not talking about a tzibur, because tzibur is not relevant by four. Tzibur is only relevant by two. The fact that it's not relevant means by the fifth one, I'm not going to worry about the tzibur. I'm going to assume it's the same as the other four. The chachamim argue are going to say, what Hashem says is a four metot. Whatever applies to the yachid applies to the yachid. Whatever applies to the yachid and tzibur applies to the yachid and tzibur. We're not going to make that differentiation. So that's why the chachamim learn. Then we have an argument by Rabbi Natan Omer. It's problematic because that would imply that Rabbi Natan is a Tano. And then he would not have been brought after Reish Lakish. It doesn't make sense. So if you look at Tosfos, the Gir says Rabbi Natan Amar. Rabbi Natan Amar, which would imply that he's an Amora, Rabbi Natan the Amora, which makes a lot more sense, because then he's following Reish Lakish. So we'll read it as Rabbi Natan Amar, Achat Nitna Lehem. They were given one. They said, out of the five, one of them is the Mita, the other four are the Re'iyah. And then they said afterwards, we're going to make all five of them the Mita. Now the Gemara interjects with a question now in this position, Rabbi Natan, trying to explain Rabbi Shimon. Let's say Baha'i Sidra Gemirilu. Let's figure out where they were given to them. Ibi Yachid, Ibi Tzibor. If it was given in the Yachid or the Tzibor, meaning that, why do you have to make all five of them Metot? It was given the Yachid, you know that the Yachid has three that only apply to the Yachid. Then you know you only have to make three of them be Metot. If you knew it was given Bitzibor, you know only two of them have to be Metot. Yes, we know one is Meta. But if you want to expand and we don't know which one it was, if I know if it was to the Yachid or to the Tzibur, I can narrow it down to three or two. Because three only apply by Yachid, two only apply by Tzibur.
All five apply
to Yachid. Yachid gets all five of them, but one where they only apply to a Yachid is three of them. So that's the point. Yachid alone is affected by three. Tzibur is only affected by two. So if I knew that they were given about the Yachid only, something that was only applicable to the Yachid, I would know that there were three. If I knew it was something only applicable to the Tzibur, I knew there were two. Why did I make all five of them Metot? Why do I have to make all five of them Metot? I could have one piece of information, or at least let me know that I don't need to make all five of them. So my answers, basically, I think that's what you're thinking, that's exactly what they forgot. They forgot, not only did they forget which of the one of the five is Meta, they also didn't know where it was given. Was it given to the Yachid or was it given to the Tzibur? We don't know which Marechet, we don't know which channel we were looking at. So we don't know either pieces of information, they have to make all five of them Metot. But now the Gemara explains how Rabbi Natan answers Rabbi Shimon's problem. If you say they were all talking about the Tzibur, how can you have these in the Tzibur? So here's the other way around, because four of them are the Re'iyah. Four of them go out to graze. So first of all, there can't be four Tzibur to go out to graze. The Tzibur only has two. Or again, like we said before, four of them were given as a unit, a single grouping that are the Re'iyah. That single grouping of Re'iyah can't manifest itself in the Tzibur. Since it cannot manifest itself in the Tzibur, therefore, it can't be that we're speaking about the Tzibur at all. And that's the logic of Rabbi Shimon. So, So over here, that means just like the Mifurash, those that we know explicitly are by Yachid, so not by the Tzibur. Also those that we don't know about, we're going to assume are the Yachid, because either according to Reish Lakish, there was only one that we didn't know about Meita that was left over, or according to Rabbi Natan, there was only one that was Meita. The other four were the Iyah. Again, that can't apply to a Tzibur. Those numbers are not relevant by a Tzibur. Rashi explains, what's the case of Lameid, Efshar, Mi'efshar? If we had numbers like two and three. If we had a number, we knew two were Metot, or two were the Re'iyah. In those cases, then you would have a problem, because then you'd be learning out Efshar Mi'efshar, because it could have applied to the Tzibur, or it could have applied to the Yachid. In a case where it could have applied to either, then you can't learn out from the Yachid over to the Tzibur. But over here, where we know for certain that it was only given to the Yachid because of the numbers that are given here, 1 and 4, 4 and 1, then there's no Efshar Mi'efshar. We're learning everything within the context of Yachid, and that's not called Efshar Mi'efshar. Only if we had a chance, a possibility of explaining the din, according to Tzibur, then you would have a problem of learning out from Yachid to Tzibur. But we don't have that based on the numbers that we have. Had it been two and three, then you would have had that possibility. Okay, now we're going to continue with the Mishnah. Chomer b'kodoshim mi b'tmura. Chomer b'tmura mi b'kodoshim. There are certain things that are more chamur, more stringent with regards to kodoshim, which is ikar, primary kedusha, when you're magdish, the animal. And there are certain things that are more chamur when you do the exchange by tmura. Chomer b'kodoshim mi b'tmura. When you're placing the primary kedusha, what's more chamur? Shekodoshim osim tmura. Because something that has primary kedusha is able to create tmura. Vein tmura osim tmura. On the other hand, something that was in exchange, that was made into tmura, it cannot create another tmura. Derivative kedusha cannot create another derivative kedusha. Atzivar v'ashutafim magdish. When it comes to a tzibur or partners, they're able to be magdisha animal, avalo memirim, but they don't have the ability to create mura. We already learned that. That's only true by a yachid, not true by a tzibur or b'shutafim. Umagdishim ubarim ve'evarim. You can be magdish an ubar, a fetus, independently, and evarim, and limbs of the animals, avalo memirim, but you can't create mura on a fetus or on a specific evar. On the other hand, chomer b'tmura mi b'kodoshim. There are certain things by tmura which is more chamor, more stringent than it is by kodoshim. Shehat tmura chalal bal mum kavua. When it comes to tmura, tmura is chal even on something that has a mum kavua in it, meaning even though the mum is there prior to the kedusha, nevertheless, it attains a certain amount of kedusha, but in on tzeh the chulin, the gzoz, v'le aved.
And even when you redeem it, it still retains a level of dusha, what's called psulei amukdashim, which means that you can't do whatever you want with it, you can only eat it. As opposed to by kodashim, the ikar hekdesh. If you go ahead and remakdish an animal, then it later gets a mum, that's psulei amukdashim, and that has the same din as what we're saying here. That you can't do anything besides eat it, you can't be gozezit, you can't be oved with it. You have to shecht it, you can't sell it, be'etzliz, ubalitra. All of those restrictions apply, but if the mum was there prior to you making it mhegdesh, if you're a magdish animal that already has a mum in it, then the animal is redeemed, but it's redeemed and that's it, it's done, it becomes chul in the gamre. This is not true by tmura, if you try to exchange the kedusha onto another animal that has a mum in it, and we know that works because of tov bara ra b'tov, then it will take on the same properties as psulei mukdashim. That means that even when you redeem it, it'll still retain a level of tusha that you can't do whatever you want with it. When it comes to tmura, shugeg and mezid have the same din. We've discussed this before about exactly what that means, that shugeg kim mezid. You'll get malkot for mezid, you'll get malkot for shugeg. What shugeg we're speaking about, Gemara will address it again, and we had discussed this earlier in the Masechta. Lo asa shugeg kim mezid b'mukdashim, that's not true by mukdashim. When you makdish an animal, if there's any mistake, any doubt about it, that's called hekdesh ta'ut. And hekdesh ta'ut is not hekdesh. It doesn't work. That's not successful. Rabbi Lazar Omer, akilayim, mixed breeds, v'atrefa, someone said trefa, yotze dofen, it came out through a cesarean section, with tumtum, vandroginus, those that have issues with their gender, lo kidoshim, they aren't kadosh, v'lo makdishim, and they cannot make dusha. We've seen this Mishnah before, and the interpretation of the Gemara on that, which is that it's referring to Tmura, that they are lo kedoshim, they do not become Kodesh, velo makdishim, and they cannot create Tmura, and the Gemara will ask, how is it possible that they can create Tmura if they can never become Kodesh? So that we'll deal with in the Gemara. We've seen this Mishnah a number of times already, but again, we'll go to the Gemara to remind ourselves about exactly how it works here, how they're able to accept Kedusha, and how they cannot pass on that Kedusha when it comes to Tmura. But we'll stop over here.